I want to just take a couple minutes. Anything before we get started today, we're going to review a little bit of the model. We're going to do worship with the word today. We're going to meditate on Hebrews today. So Ben and Megan are going to go through all that. But anything that you would like to bring up so far this week, either an observation you've made that's just really struck you, that's been revolutionary for you, or anything that you have a question about, anything that you have a comment about, just to kind of kick off the morning, just want to give an opportunity for that. How many of you are feeling tired? Oh, good. That's good. You can be tired in the kingdom and still be fully alive in love and joyful. Yeah. Gail. Absolutely. Yeah, in the tabernacle of David, kind of the spirit of the tabernacle of David, I'll say, what God's doing today, he wants to bring the creativity of all the arts, everything that we can think about, any way to glorify God, to be a part of what's going on. So that means that dancers can be a legitimate part of the worship team. Artists, you know, I think of Carmel, you know, she didn't actually do the kind of art that she's doing now before she started in the house of prayer. I remember specifically the day she was doodling on something and said, the Lord wants to use that in the prayer room. And she didn't believe me. And so we said, hey, look, bring your pencils, bring your paint, whatever. Sit on the worship team. You can be a part of our team. And just do whatever the Lord gives you as you're sitting there for 2 hours, right? And so she started doing that. And now, I mean, when she flows, she's got some of the most beautiful prophetic art. And so the Lord can really develop our talent in his presence. And so artists, dancers, you know, there's that little house prayer I told you guys about in Juarez, Mexico, where the orphans are in there. They have clay stations set up for the kids. That's something they do. So the kids will come in and they'll do models. They had some pretty cool ones. They have the cross. You know, they'll have God's hands, you know, with the kids in the hand. I mean, they do whatever, but they use clay and they mold it. So you can have little stations like that set up. Of course, you know, there's the practical stuff of you don't want paint all over the carpet and you don't want clay stuck in the walls. So there's got to be some kind of way to monitor that kind of stuff. But writers, you know, I think of the scripture I gave you guys, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11 through 19, how David got the blueprint of the heavenly temple and the course of the priests and the articles of service and all that. It says he received by the Lord's hand upon him in writing. So he had a revelation, whether he saw it in his mind's eye or he was caught up or whatever, but the Lord inspired his writing and he wrote that whole blueprint down. And so there really is that, you know, just like the Psalms, you know, the prophetic writing that you can get by inspiration. First Chronicles 28. Verses 11 through 19, and verse 19 is the specific verse that I'm talking about, that the Lord's hand was upon him in writing. So there's many different things to do. And so you can incorporate that into your worship teams if you want to. We even used to have, you know, back in the beginning of this house of prayer, if you remember, a role on the team. So we defined all the roles. You know, there's, of course, the worship leader, associate worship leader, prophetic singers, all the different musicians that you could have, you know. Again, including, you know, you guys have the tuba. You could legitimately have strings, percussion, flutes, violins, spoons. I mean, really, everything that God has. Anointed kazoo. You know, whatever. But we had a role that was team intercessor. I don't know if you still do that or not, but there were some that they weren't gifted to sing. They didn't know how to play an instrument. But they said, hey, we'll pray for the team while you guys are ministering to the Lord. And just pray that the Lord gives you inspiration. And man, it made such a big difference to have a few of the ladies that I'm thinking of praying for our team while we were ministering to the Lord. Like, we really had that sense of the Lord giving us more because they're asking. And so that can all be incorporated in into being a part of the team. And then when the team does stuff outside of the prayer room, like when they practice or when they meet just to study the Bible or when they get together to eat, you know, you're all a part of the team. So it's kind of like your own small group. It's a real good way to shepherd. And the worship leader really needs to look at themselves. The worship leader and the prayer leader need to look at themselves as shepherds of the team. And so they do more than just lead in that 2 hours. I mean, they're going to, ideally, they would shepherd that team like a small group, you know. So what would you like to do? What's burning on your heart? Is there a part of the team that you're thinking, man, I'd love to do that? Scribe. Yeah, and didn't you used to do that for our teams when we were there too? Yeah, you got some great stuff. So good. Are you still doing it now?
Yes.
Good.
But I also would like to become a singer.
Good. Good. All right. Good. Well, we could always grow. That's for sure. We can always grow. Good. Anybody else? Did you have your hand up? Oh, the reference. Yeah. Okay, good. Anybody else? Any other questions or observations about anything this week? I would also like to see a lot more kids in the prayer room. You know, I'm looking, Dave, at your daughter and, you know, and your kids, and then I'm thinking of the Vita girls. And again, there's so many different roles that they don't have to be talented necessarily on music or instruments. They don't have to sing. There's so many other things they can do too. It's like we just need to have, as fathers and mothers in this house, prophetic eyes to see what did God call this child to do, because there's a place on every team, and to get them flowing in the house of prayer. You know, with young people and adults, you know, older ones flowing together. But we also had times, if you guys remember, the kids teams we put together. So you work with kids, right? Yeah, yeah. Tell me your name one more time. April, yeah. So you work with kids. So, you know, I'm thinking of, like, I was the only adult on this team, and I was the worship leader, but all the singers were, like, 6 years old, you know. It was like your sisters, you know. It's like all the little Van Loo girls and all the Spear girls and Sammy. I mean, Sammy was 6 at one time. It's hard to believe. But they grew up in the house of prayer singing, you know, those little kids. And they learned how to sing in the Spirit and, you know, play their instruments. And I'll never forget Lennon, you know, little Lennon Scheid. Remember, he's 5 years old playing drums on that team. And we'd play for, you know, an hour at least, but sometimes two. And his big deal was because we never would adjust the kit for him. So it was an adult kit as this little kid, and he's playing like this, you know. And so I just said, hey, Lennon, no problem, man. If you get tired, you know, just quit for a minute. So, you know, we're building, you know, the drums are building. We're about to break into a chorus, and all of a sudden the drums cut out. I look over, and he's got his head down on the snare drum like this because he just needed to take a break at that moment. So it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's good. And then just come back in when you're ready. Yeah. So why not, you know, why not? The Lord loves that. So good. Okay, well, if there's not, oh, Stan.
I just had a comment on that.
Yeah, so in different contexts, you know, it's co-leading a team, but ultimately the worship leader is the one leader of the team. He's the main guy, but you co-lead it kind of together, so there's a dynamic of partnership in it, you know, and what I mean by that is the different formats kind of dictate who's kind of taking a primary role in this moment and who's taking a secondary role and vice versa. So Ben and I talked about it the other day. In the worship with the word format, which we're going to do today, the worship leader is the one that's leading the team and would say, hey guys, you know, for the next 3 months, we're going to be singing through Hebrews. Or, you know, for the next couple weeks, we're going to be focused on Hebrews. So the worship leader would set that. Everybody would study that. And the prayer leader, as the prayer leader, I'd be studying Hebrews to serve the team, and I would come and I would be the one that throws out the isolated phrases that we're going to develop, you know. So I throw out the isolated phrase, and so I'm kind of leading the direction of where we're singing, but I'm doing it under the guidance of the worship leader who said, hey, we're singing through Hebrews. So we kind of co-lead together in that sense. For the intercessory model or prayer format, I would come into the briefing and just say, hey, today I really feel burdened to pray for Israel. So we're gonna pray for Israel. I'm going to be praying out of Acts 2, and this is kind of the direction I'm going. And the worship leader would be going, great, you know, because we want to serve the intercessors. And so as the prayer leader, I would pray. They would develop that with me. And then I would invite up other intercessors and facilitate everybody else as far as what their prayer burdens are that day, you know, because having the different intercessors, they can come up and pray anything they want. And so as a team, then we kind of serve the room in the intercessory format. So there's a dance, you know. But ultimately, the worship leader is the leader of the team. Yeah. So, okay, good question. So let's invite Ben and Megan up today, or Megan up today, or Ben and Megan up today, or Megan and Ben up today. And they're going to lead us through a little bit more.
Uh-huh. There's that one, too, if you need it. I'll start. Okay.
I'm feeling good right now, too. I don't know if it's joy of the Lord or that Amish donut. Oh. It's my first time experience. Like I just got born again.
Sorry, Megan. He's going to crash an hour from
smiling.
Now. He's going to fall over while he's singing. Just kidding. It's not going to happen. Thank you, Lord.
So we want to review a little bit of the meditation model as well as worship with the word. So I just want to give a little bit of my experience growing in doing the meditation model. It's really only been a year. I mean, I think I learned it a couple of years ago, but I didn't take it to heart right away. I was like, that's cool, but I have my own ways of studying the Bible. And a year ago, we jumped on Kirk Bennett's like leadership team, and I didn't have a choice. So we all meditated this way together, and like little by little, it just started breaking down all of the things that I thought I knew about how to study the Bible, to the point where I realized that the Bible never actually says to study the Bible. Did you know that? I mean, there's one verse in, is it 2 Timothy, that people go to kind of offer their rebuttal, that where it says, Paul says, you know, study to show yourself approved. But original language, and actually most translations don't say study. The original language just says, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Okay, we're supposed to approach Scripture meditatively or conversationally, interactively, just studying. And we're not saying commentaries are bad. You can't get the full effect of the Gospels without understanding some Hebrew idioms. I mean, there's just some things that Jesus meant that were part of the Jewish culture at the time that you can only get by reading a commentary, okay? But we're talking about letting the dominating approach to Scripture be interactive. Because Jesus said to these Pharisees, I mean, these guys knew the Bible. I promise you, they knew it better than any of us in here. And he said, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them you have life. But guess what, guys? You missed it. I am the one that the Scriptures are supposed to point you to. And if you aren't, if the Scriptures aren't an on-ramp into encountering me, you're doing it wrong. And I was really confronted. Again, this was just like in the last year, I was so confronted with this like pain over like, man, I feel like I've kind of been wasting my time the last few years. And I know the Lord has like given me so much in my times in the Word. I mean, he's so kind to, he just gives and gives no matter how we come to him. But I have experienced something that I didn't know existed before. And it is, it's the thing that, you know, if you've listened to Mike Bickle, he's just said over the decades, like, pray, read the Word. When you read the Word, just stop for a minute. When you get to a phrase that touches your heart, speak it back to God, and then keep going. And it's so simple that I never believed it was actually effective. And so, anyway, with meditation, you're actually forced to do that. And it has totally transformed the way I read Scripture. I want to go so much deeper than I want to know all of these things. You know, this theme I've noticed has come up a few times this week. Like, we've been talking about not knowing facts about God so much about knowing God, right? He doesn't care how much information we know. There's actually no test to take when you get to the judgment seat. Did you know that? This is the test. There's no like, okay, now write down the gospel for me, you know, to see how big of a crown you get. That doesn't exist. He doesn't care about the information we take in. He wants us to know and have a relationship with him. Think about this. Even the tree of the knowledge of good led to death. Right? It was good and evil, but just the knowledge of good, just having information about good, it actually led to death. Adam lost his, you know, immortality in a sense because of that tree. And we can experience that same death if we go through our whole life just getting a whole bunch of information about God, you know? So anyway, I have just been transformed by it. And I'll just give you guys a couple little things that I've found. I always have a transition point during meditation because we start and usually I'll read through the verse. I might even read the chapter before and after, get some context just so I know what's going on. And I want to know, you know, what the words really mean. And then I'll read it for maybe like 10 minutes and ask the Lord to highlight a specific phrase. So like today, Megan's going to go over Hebrews 10. And I mean, there's so much in this little passage right here. And so I'll just wait for the Lord to highlight one phrase. And that phrase might be high priest. And I'll just take the two words, high priest, for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Or the phrase like new and living way. And I'll just stay on that for the whole time. And what I've noticed is it's pretty good for, you know, 45 minutes. And then I have this transition point. And it comes when I start singing the passage, or the phrase. I just start singing it. And the reason Revelation comes that way is because you're actually, it takes humility to submit to, like Megan said this the other day, to the word reading you instead of just reading the word. And when you're singing it, it's like, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to figure this out. I'm going to let the word of God come off of my tongue and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal something to me about that. And so when you're speaking it, and especially when you're singing it, that's actually when things start coming. Because I usually spend half an hour trying to figure out the verse until finally the Lord reminds me, this isn't about figuring out the verse. Sing it, and it'll start touching your heart. The second thing that kind of serves as a transition for me. And when I say transition, I mean going from like waiting for something to happen to, oh man, I'm encountering the Lord in this verse. So the other way of transition is when I start asking questions. So I say, Lord, what is the new and living way? What makes that way new? What was the old way? What do you mean that it's a living way? Is there a way that's not alive? You know, and I just start asking questions. And when you ask questions, one, it's not that the Lord is even like giving you every little answer to every question, but it's opening up your heart to have a conversation with God. And so asking questions is huge. And then one other thing is when I start praying in the Spirit, if I feel stuck, like, because usually I do. If you're in here for a few hours on a verse, you're more than likely going to get stuck from time to time, okay? And so I just stand up and I start pacing. And I just start praying in the Spirit for, you know, 5-10 minutes. And after a while, I get a little breakthrough, and it's like a little light bulb comes on, and I'm like, ooh, I got to write that down, and stuff just starts coming, you know? So those are a few things that really help me that I just want to encourage you guys to really do when you are doing the meditation model. And it's things that you know, may not think are going to make that much of a difference, but you know, even little things like actually write down your distractions. You may get to the end of 2 hours and think, wow, you know, I just didn't really get anything. And we'll ask you, well, did you write anything down on the side? No. Well, you were probably distracted the whole time because you weren't writing down your distractions.
Write
it's amazing.
Distracted.
So, yeah, seriously, right.
I'm distracted.
I'm so distracted now. Write down everything. And when you do, it just kind of gets locked away and you're free to move on. So
I want to mention something else on the questions part. The Lord is actually giving us questions whenever we're in meditation. Like, it's actually Holy Spirit in us giving us questions to ask the Lord. And I actually like to think of questions as a doorway. Like, once when a question pops up, that's actually, imagine it actually as an invitation. The Lord's like, hey, come in this direction with me. And oftentimes when I ask a question, it's like, oh, yes. Then another question will come. And you'll get question after question after question. And before long, you'll realize that you've actually been dialoguing with the Lord. And it's like revelation is sitting in your heart because of these questions. That is actually a dialogue. You know, when you're asking a question, you don't just ask it to thin air, right? If I ask Bob a question, he's going to respond to me. I hope. He will respond to me. It's just, it's conversational, as Ben was saying. And I just have to, I mentioned this, if you guys, who was here on Tuesday when we went over this? I think it was Tuesday. Oh, great. So most everyone. So again, sing that phrase. This, and then as more things come to you, just continue adding that on to the song and picking up with the melody that you hear. Cool thing about the way we've done this week is we've made it really kind of easy because we're actually, the teams are actually singing and developing choruses around the scripture that we're studying. So that is actually helpful. Sometimes it can be a bit difficult when there's a team doing a different phrase, but it's not impossible because we do it in the prayer room all the time back in Kansas City. But it's really helpful. And if you guys can do that as teams here when you do worship with the word, even like those of you who come in at a certain set time, like you're in the prayer room and you're in the prayer room with someone else, you know they're going to be there at the same time every week they show up with you. I would encourage you guys, ask them if they want to get together and do a meditation time. Have a focus time together in that worship with the word set. And I would encourage you guys, get together like 20 minutes before the actual set. Go over, find out which passage the team is going to be singing around, and then talk about it amongst yourselves, pray over it together, head into the prayer room together, designate a time in which you'll meet up after, and talk about what the Lord gave you. Have a leader, appoint a leader to lead your and facilitate that time at the end. And I have excitement in my heart for you guys. Like if you, yeah, I see your face, Audra. If you guys latch on to this, I really feel like it's you're going to experience a unity together as a body that is just going to cause your hearts to come alive. And it's all going to be centered around the word. Isn't that exciting? Like it's the best type of fellowship we can have with one another is word being central to what we're talking about. You'll get to know each other a lot better than in any other way that you could give yourselves to.
Just real quick, I just want to insert a verse that really, it just really touched my heart when we were starting to do this as teams more. And it was like the Lord just confirming, this is how I want you to approach meditation. You do it on your own, of course, but really go after doing this as teams. And we're finding like this has got to be a foundation of the house of prayer, is teams that meditate on the word together. And it says in 1 John, John is speaking to his spiritual children, right? He says, we proclaim these things to you so that you too may have fellowship with us, meaning like the apostles, the believers, that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's like he's saying, I'm inviting you into the fellowship we have with God, and we have it through singing, conversation with him, meditating on his word, and we want you to have this fellowship with us. And it's this beautiful picture of going deep in God together. He is so about that. He's so about us locking into this corporate reality. So anyway, I just like that verse. That's 1 John 1:3.
So I'm just going to highlight once again in your notebooks. We've given you two sheets because we knew we'd do this twice together this week. And again, you could actually go on. Maybe I'll send one of these PDFs to Corey and he can forward it to Bob. And if anyone wants a format that's already been put into a PDF, then you could just get some copies of it. Or you can make your own. It's really simple. Like I said earlier this week, I like to use the legal pad because it's a bit bigger. It's got lines on it, and it can all be centralized on one pad. So I like legal pads. But I just want to highlight this page. There's one more page in your notebooks. Has everybody found it? Or does everybody have a sheet of paper to write on? I should ask, does anyone not have a notebook and a sheet of paper? Wonderful. Sweet. Okay, so again, we're going to write our entire scripture, and this is actually a long one, so it's going to take you maybe a couple minutes. But we're going to write Hebrews 10, and you can go ahead and write this right now so that you, not the whole verse, but just write the reference down. You can write the whole verse once we start. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. So write that in that scripture text box. And once we begin, you'll write the whole verse. And then read that verse a couple times and focus in, hone in on a small phrase within that verse that you want to meditate on. Again, 3 words, 4 words, 5 words. I prefer doing smaller phrases again because it's just, it stretches me and to really go deep and break it up and chew on smaller phrases rather than trying to conquer a large phrase. So I just like doing smaller phrases. So you'll highlight that phrase within the text, or you can write it out right there underneath the meditation word. All that you get within your time, like Corey mentioned, I'm glad he highlighted this in our debrief the other day. Those of you who are getting pictures and you want to draw it out, draw those pictures out in that area, this large box right here. Ask the Lord to open up the senses, the 5 senses. Say, Lord, I want to smell today. I want to see. Open my eyes. Open my ears to hear. I want to touch you. I just want to encourage you guys to let's reach for that today and even talk about it in our debrief time. So pictures, if you get pictures, write down your questions that you get and you're asking the Lord. All of these are things that you can include in the insight/revelation text within the meditation box. Another little reminder, so my friend over here, remind me of your name, sir. Andy, our Teen Challenge director guy, right? He said he's going to teach this to his Teen Challenge guys, and they're going to do this. How awesome is that? I ask him how that time is going, because I guarantee you're going to have hear testimonies that are going to encourage you in the faith from what they get out of that time. I'm super stoked. I want to hear about it, too. So he actually was joking with me. He was like, hey, this box needs to be a little bit bigger. I was like, we need to get some legal pad or 11x17 paper, right, and do this. Okay, so right over here you'll see the task slash other distractions. That whole column is for that. Again, I like to go ahead and just write down everything that's on the forefront of my mind right whenever I sit down. It really helps me lock those things up and in one sense take them captive, right? Okay, so then the very bottom, pursuits. And as we mentioned earlier this week, it is really easy for something, a phrase from another place in the Bible to pop up in your brains as you're focusing in on one phrase. And rather than opening up your Bible and going there in that very moment, just go ahead and log that reference or that phrase that topic you want to go deeper in, log it away right there in your pursuits column. That way you can go and meditate on that later. And it's not that it will absolutely throw you off. It's not going to throw you off if you do even decide to go there. But it really just helps keep you honed in on that one phrase and helps keep the focus on the dialogue that you're having with the Lord in that moment. Does that make sense?
And one thing that Kirk actually has us do that still sometimes, like, I cringe a little, but he says, when you write it down, close your Bible and don't open it until the meditation time is over. I'm like, oh, but I just want to go all over the place in there. And that's the point, is to lock yourself into that verse. So he actually has this, like, actually put the Bible away. You've got the verse in front of you, and just let the Holy Spirit take you in there.
And cell phones. That's another thing. Put that cell phone. Let's stretch ourselves today. Let's just put the cell phone down. Cut it on. Put it on airplane mode or whatever. Silent. Hide it. Don't put it in your butt pocket. You know, don't even lay it on the seat where you can see it. Just sit on it. But that way, well, we're not going to Google either, right, Rabbi Google, to get answers and to get definitions and translations. But let's believe today that the Lord has encounter awaiting us. And I'm going to just highlight the scripture. We're going to open this up for you right now. And then we're going to take a break and come back in. So Hebrews 10:19-22. I'm going to read it aloud, and I'll wait for you guys to turn there if you haven't turned there already. Sammy's such a great big sister. She's out there strolling with Noah. Just love that girl. Yep. Won't be too far. You'll be a granddad. Grandpa Corey, I can see it. I can see it. Then the gray hairs will come. Okay, great. So Hebrews 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, I'm reading from the ESV, by the way. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So Sammy is going to lead us today from the platform, lead her worship team in a meditation time and a worship with the word set over with these verses, and we're so excited about this. These verses actually have been also like a launching pad for us, I would say, in really believing that our meditation times can be a time filled with encounter, that the Lord is simply waiting for us to, as he's told John, come up here, and that we're really believing, like, the Lord, this is present tense, like, this was written so that we would be encouraged because of what Jesus, our great high priest, has done for us. I don't want to unpack it all so that we can just go into it together during our meditation time, but because of what he's done for us, we can actually have confidence that he is welcoming us right now, today, in this 12 o'clock set, to come and be with him, to come and encounter him. He actually is waiting for us. Like, I can feel joy right now and expectation in his heart. He's, like, looking at us right now going, oh, come visit with me. Come be with me. This is my desire, that you would be with me. Come, come. I just feel it right now, like him beckoning us. Come, come, come. And I just want to encourage you guys, the word is true, and we have it right here. We don't have to wait for Jesus to set foot on the earth. He will. We're going to be with him face to face with unhindered devotion and worship when he comes to rule and reign forever. It is true. But there's also, he gave us a down payment by giving us his spirit. As Corey was mentioning last night, I'm so glad he took us there last night and was obedient to the Lord, because I needed to be reminded of that. Like, this is intimacy with God. This is the way we come face to face with him, is believing that the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives and dwells on the inside of us and is eagerly waiting to make known the mysteries of Christ. And he's waiting for us right now to commune with him and ask him questions and to have our eyes opened as we ascend today. He's waiting, and it's exciting. So this curtain has been torn. It was the flesh of Christ. And as Ben said, let's ask those questions. What's the new and living way? What is new about it? It's living. What does that mean? How is it alive? Let's ask the Lord questions about this verse, and let's have expectation that we're going to meet with him right here. Are you guys excited? Yeah. I'm like really excited. So I just want to pray for us. If you have something else you want to add in before.
Just one little practical thing I do before I get started is I actually pull out a few translations of the verse. And I try to get more of the like literal word for word translations as close as I can. But I look at a few of those, and sometimes there's words that I just like better, and they mean the same thing. So like for this one, I think New King James uses the word veil instead of curtain. Well, I just like the word veil better than curtain, so I actually write veil when I write down the thing. And sometimes few translations just have better ways of saying things. So that's just something that helps me a little
then
bit.
Then you can turn your phone off after that. Awesome. Okay, any questions or comments before we pray and give you guys a break? All good? Sweet.
Real quick before you play, one more thing. I just want to say, just to touch on with what's going on up here on stage, again, the focus of these afternoon sets is for you guys to experience like being in the room while something is going on, like learning how to just be in the prayer room. And so one thing that really helps during these sets, if you're in the room, is to, if you don't have to even really be paying attention to what's being said, but if you hear a phrase that touches your heart, instead of just thinking to yourself, oh, that really touched my heart, actually sing that same phrase. Speak that same phrase. If the singers get on a chorus up here that you're like, wow, that's good. Don't just think, wow, that's good. Jump in and sing that chorus with them. So you don't have to be like really locked in and paying attention to everything that's happening up here. But when you connect with something, actually let it come out of your mouth and be an avenue into conversation with God. So and it can be as simple as, yes, Lord. Sometimes it's just, yes, Lord. So,
yes, Lord. Father, we come to you as your children today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, who loves his job. We thank you for the invitation that you extend to us daily to come up and be with you where you are. We choose to believe today that you have put faith in our hearts to say yes. And right now we enter the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God, that you would cause our hearts to burn in this session for you. I thank you for my friends here, Lord, for this family, and I bless them in this time. We bless your holy name. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.